Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hey, there it is. So, hey, thank you. Just FYI on these shoes. So, I'm glad you noticed them, Matt. Thank you, bro. You might notice that I'm wearing some pink shoes. It's a little difficult to buy size 16 shoes pretty much anywhere. These were on sale at Ross's for $15. So I didn't care what color they were. And if you're going to go big, you might as well go big and flashy, you know? So there you go. Hey, it is awesome to be with you on this post-Thanksgiving Sunday morning. Hopefully you all had a wonderful family time over Thanksgiving break. We are missing Pastor Marvin this morning, but I want to thank him for the opportunity to speak this morning. I've left my notes purposely on this table right here because according to Miss Audrey, I roam a little too much during sermon time. And like I said in the second service, no, I'm just kidding. I always get bashed, not bashed. What is it that Pastor Marvin does? It's a friendly gesturing. Yeah, we'll go with that. A roast. There you go. That many times when he has watched the podcast on his Apple iTunes and not his Android Podbeam. Okay. When he watches it, he says that I mention a lot of times in second service the words, like I said in the first service, and I say that quite a bit. So I'm not going to do that today. In fact, the good news is I'm probably not even going to preach the same message. So you may want to stay for the second service because there's no guarantee that the same thing is even going to be spoken about in the second service. We just really don't know. But the point is I put these here so that I can try and stay within a proximity, a triangle, if you will, here and not roam too much out there in the vast openness of the crowd. Got it? Good. All right, so speaking on Thanksgiving, we were talking about that. You guys hopefully had a great Thanksgiving week. My wife and I loaded up a 12-passenger van with seven beautiful, wonderful, extremely energetic children. And we drove ourselves to Nashville, Tennessee to visit her sister who has five beautiful, wonderful, extremely energetic children. And we all hunkered down in one happy home for 4 days. Just a collection of joyous greatness during the Thanksgiving holidays. Thank you, Jesus, for ham, turkey, and cranberry sauce to calm my nerves. All right. So on our trip, I knew ahead of time that I would be speaking today. And so I do what every wise man does, and I start to talk to my wife about the things that I need to say or feel like should be said based on what we're speaking on. And so I had a lot of really cool ideas. Like, my ideas were great, all right? My ideas were mind-blowing, okay? And if I had something other than a flip phone, I probably would have written them down in notes. But because I have to push four buttons to get the letter I want, it just takes too long. And then I have ADHD, so I forgot my thoughts. Flip phones just don't work for my brain. So it's all good. But they do work for my checkbook. Okay. So, we're driving on this long, wonderful adventure, and I'm talking to her, sharing all three of my great ideas, and then she's like, yeah, that's awesome, and then she starts sharing, and we come to this very real conclusion that her approach and my approach are totally different, and after 18 wonderful years of marriage, I've realized that we are very different people. And so I said to myself, that's interesting. And it reminded me of the scripture that says that we are all part of the body and that we all have these different roles in the body of Christ. And so today, I wanted to speak about evangelism, sharing the good news with those that are around us. And I started to ask the question to myself, what are the things that would limit us from doing that? What would limit us from being bold in our faith and sharing our faith with those that are around us? And came up with a few things, but one very clear thing was that some of us don't feel like that is our calling. All right. And so my wife and I started to discuss that a little bit. And I think that sometimes as Christians, we can get confused between gifting and calling. And we have to be very careful that we don't use the excuse, I'm gifted in this particular area, so I don't necessarily have to be called to this other area. Here's what I mean by that. I could tell you that I'm fairly gifted, all right, at speaking to large groups. I'm okay with that, okay? Put my wife in front of a large group of individuals. She will do a great job. She will be awesome at it, but it's not her wheelhouse. It's not what she wants to be doing. She has no desire. She would rather be the behind-the-scenes person that makes sure that it all gets done correctly, done well, and done with excellence. It's not her thing. I'm not a behind-the-scenes kind of person, and I'm not a quiet person, in case you've never really picked up on that. Okay? And so when it comes to personal relationships, one-on-one interactions, things like that, man, my wife is the one that you would hope that you got connection with on those kinds of things, because she's going to be able to meet your need probably a little bit better than I would, because I don't know, I'm awkward and it's just when it one-on-one. But in a large crowd, whoa, the party started, I'm ready, let's go, come on, I'm good, okay? I'm ready to rock it. But we have these differences, but here's the deal. Presented with an opportunity to speak to a large group of people, my wife is ever ready to come forward and do what she needs to do, because here's the deal. God equips us for whatever audience he sends us to, okay? And even though I am not a very one-on-one person, given the opportunity and presented in front of me, I'm going to be prepared that, hey, if we need to pray right now, let's do that. If you need to hear something and I need to stop and let the Holy Spirit speak through me, then let's do that. It's not where I'm comfortable, but evangelizing, bringing the good news to people is not about our comfort. It's not about me. And so that was one of the points. As a former English teacher, feel that it is important that I cite my sources. And so that was one of my wife's points, is it's not about me, okay? And so we can very easily say, well, I'm probably not supposed to do that. I'm probably not supposed to say that or go to those people or do that for those people, because that's not the kind of person I am. I'm not really comfortable there. So God wouldn't send me into this situation with these people because I'm not comfortable with them. And God wouldn't want me to be awkward, because then that's going to mess things up. And then, you know, like, they're totally going to be turned off from God because I'm just awkward and I don't know what to say and I don't know what to do and all this. See, I think that when we do that, we downplay the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's a very dangerous thing to do. What we're saying is it's about me and what my ability level is in order for these people to find Jesus. And if it's about me and my ability level, God help this world. I can't bring them to a relationship with Jesus Christ if I don't have the Holy Spirit working in me to give them what they need to hear, when they need to hear it, how they need to hear it. So if I'm basing the success of my evangelism on my abilities, whew, that's scary stuff. And God help us all. Okay? So It wasn't on the notes. Just wanted to say all that. Going back to, man, I'm gifted in this area, so these are the people that I'm supposed to reach. Okay, and a lot of times we throw gifting and calling into the same sentence with each other. I'm gifted in this area, so I'm called to these people. Let me just read you something that a guy named Jesus said. And I mean, his word's pretty legit. I usually like to listen to it and kind of, you know, go with what he said. He's a pretty smart guy. So, Mark 16:15, Jesus says to those who are his disciples, which would be the people that follow him, not necessarily the 12 dudes that just like tracked him everywhere he went while he was on the earth. All right, he says to these guys, go into all the world and preach the good news, catch this last word, to everyone. Everybody say everyone.
Everyone.
Not just the people I'm comfortable with, not just the people I'm gifted to, okay? I would say that my wife and I are probably pretty gifted at working with kids, hopefully, okay? I'm a school teacher and run a camp and do all these other kinds of things. Hopefully I have some gifting there, although my kids might argue with that question. It's sometimes like, that dude needs some help. And you are right, I do. But the point is, that's kind of our wheelhouse. Does that mean that all I ever do is go and speak to kids or teenagers? Is that all I ever do? When posed with an adult, do I not have to approach them because that's not where I'm gifted to go to? And here's another thing. Again, one of the things that my wife said, and I thought was really awesome, I'll say we came up with this together. Really, it was probably her idea. We are not entitled to or responsible for choosing who deserves the gospel. It's good, Julie. It's good. But here's the deal, okay? My wife and I have worked, and she brought this story up when we were talking, and I was like, man, that's true. We have worked with kids within the foster care system for 15, 16 years, whatever it may be. And in that time, yes, we've worked a lot with the kids, but we've also dealt with birth parents, caseworkers, state officials, judges, all kinds of other people that are involved, people that have their opinions that they have no idea what they're talking about, but they still have their wonderful opinions. God bless them. Okay? And here's the deal. We have to be sure that we don't get so focused on, well, I'm called to speak into the lives of these kids and minister to these kids, that we forget about the people that we kind of conveniently would like to forget about. How about the birth parent who has abused their child, who has done horrendous things to their child, who in my mind doesn't deserve grace because of the things that they've done? However, how scary of a place is it if I begin to allow myself to get into a position where I'm the one delivering grace to people? Because here's the deal. The Bible says you receive grace as you give grace. So if I get into a position where I am unwilling to forgive something that someone has done and unwilling to give grace to that person, I better be very careful, because I'm positioning myself to no longer receive the grace of God. How many things have I done? Well, the Bible says very clearly that no sin has weight, right? Like, sin is sin, and sin separates us from God. And unforgiveness is a sin. So my act of unforgiveness towards the people that I think have committed these unforgivable sins is just as bad as the unforgivable sin that they have committed. And so I have to be very cautious that I am not putting myself into a position where I am no longer able to receive grace because I am not willing to give it. Also, just a thought, doesn't it put me in quite a hypocritical position to say that person doesn't deserve grace when here I am so in need of grace for the many things that I have done, regardless of how human beings weigh that sin. I need Jesus just as much as every other single person on this planet. And so if I am unwilling to share Jesus with the people that I think don't deserve Jesus, then I am putting myself out of the reach of Jesus. We have to be careful not to do that. So, number one, it's not about me. It's not about what I'm comfortable with. It's not about whether I feel equipped or not. Okay, there are some things that we could consider to be our cross that we cannot bear. And the Bible says that if you're not willing to take up your cross, then you are not a part of Christ's family. Okay, and I'll read the scripture exactly so that I don't mess it up and you don't feel like I'm coming up with my own version here, the JW version of the Bible. But Matthew 10:38, if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy to be mine. Those are some pretty strong words. When I read that, I slapped myself in the face. My wife looked at me like, what is this dude doing? Okay? But that should hit you harder than anything. Let me read it again, maybe a little slower, so we all grasp what this is saying to us. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy to be mine. You are not a follower of Christ, not a part of his family, if you are not willing to take up your cross. So what is your cross? What is the thing that you must bear and put up with and deal with that you are extremely uncomfortable with, that almost pains you to do? What is that thing? Is it insecurity? Is it doubt? Is it fear? Is it shame? So many times I get phone calls. Can you come speak to this group? Can you come speak to that group? I got called 3 weeks ago to go speak to a father's group about being a father on the very same day that I was screaming at my children and telling them, how in the world can you do this? I can't believe, and all this other kind of stuff. Inside of me, I'm saying, man, I'm the worst stinking dad on the planet. And you want me to go speak to these other dudes about how to be a good dad? Like, maybe I should just go sit in the front and be like, please, give me some advice, guys. Like, you know? But here's the deal. The devil's going to use our insecurities and the things that we screwed up on, messed up on, failed on, and he's going to use those to hold us back from giving the gospel to other people. Steal, kill, destroy. Those are the things that he tries to do. So if he can destroy our confidence and he can steal opportunities for us because we don't take them because we're fearful or insecure about who we are, and he's got it. Okay? Here's the thing. The Bible very clearly says, and thank you, Jesus, for this, in my weakness, he is glorified. In my weakest, he is glorified. So again, it's not about me. If I'm thinking, oh, well, then I have to position myself to be just right so that I can get the maximum amount of message out to those people and they can see it and they can hear it and they can understand it and I'm going to have credibility because of what I've been able to do in my life and all, blah, 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 blah. Here's the deal. We all fail. Okay? I don't care how good you are. We all fail. And so if you're basing your entire message on your ability to be perfect, then you are failing the people that you're speaking to. Because sooner or later, you're going to fail. And if their religion is based on what you're able to do, then their religion crumbles. So you've got to make sure that everything you do is based upon the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. It has to be. It has to be. So we're all called to go to the entire world, to preach the gospel to everyone, not just those we're comfortable with, not just those we're gifted to speak to, okay? It's not about us. It's not about what we are able to do and the ability level that we have, because again, the Holy Spirit, I've said this tons and tons of times, the Holy Spirit will equip us to be what we need to be to the people God puts in front of us. It's not us, it's Him equipping us. How many times have you heard a preacher or somebody say, man, I was in a situation, I had no idea what to say to these people, I had nothing in common with these people, and yet the words just came. I knew exactly what to say to them or exactly how to pray for them or those kinds of things. How many times have you heard that? Growing up in church, I've heard it over and over and over and over and over and over again. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we should be operating in our lives. Because then we don't have to worry about, am I trained enough? Am I equipped enough? The Holy Spirit will give us that. Here's what we can do in order to prepare ourselves. Is we can make sure that our relationship with Christ and our connection with the Holy Spirit is where it needs to be. So that when we come into a situation like that where we're fighting a spiritual battle, when we're wrestling against things that are not flesh and blood, then we are prepared because we have positioned ourselves to be partners with the Holy Spirit and with Christ. Does that make sense? So if there's anything that we can do, if there's anything that we can do to prepare ourselves to evangelize and to be fully equipped to reach the people that God's called us to, it's making sure that our relationship with Christ and our connection to the Holy Spirit is where it needs to be. And if we're there and we're connected with Him and we're spending time with Him every single day and we're asking Him to be in control of our lives and surrendering to Him the things that are in our lives, then when we get into those positions that we're not completely comfortable with, He's going to take care of it, and He's going to cover it. So, 1 Peter 3:15. Dedicate your life to Christ. Always be ready to defend your confidence in God. Be ready. I used to be in the Royal Rangers. Anybody know the Royal Rangers? With God's help, I will do my best to serve God, my church, and my fellow man, to live by the Ranger Code, to make the golden rule my daily rule. Two. Okay? And I have my khakis on with a trailblazer with all my little things on my chest. Could start a fire. No, I couldn't really start. Didn't get that badge. Pull a lighter out the back. Anyway, I could chop stuff down, though. You need firewood? I'm on it. You're just going to have to wait 2 to 3 weeks while it dries out because it's fresh green wood. It's not going to burn. Okay. So be ready. Have yourself prepared. Be ready. How do we do that? Okay. Because you were just saying you can't be ready for all situations and other things. Here's the deal. I coach baseball. Love baseball. Coach baseball. Here's what I do with my players. We spend 3, 4, 5 weeks before the season starts going over all kinds of situations. We go over, all right, we're in a situation where you've got a man on first base and we want to get him to second base. Then you're going to bunt over to the third base line, all right, and you're going to run and we're going to do all these situational things and you're going to steal base, you're going to go run while he's batting and all these kind of things, right? I'm preparing them. In the outfield, the ball's coming in. You know there's a guy on third. You're positioning yourself to catch, throw. And I'm giving them all these situational moments so that when it comes time, they're ready for it. But here's the deal. We practice 4 or 5 weeks. We get into a game time situation. Anything could happen, right? It's a game. Anything could happen. I can't prepare them for every single thing that's going to happen in a baseball game. I can teach you, but then at a certain point, instinct has to kind of take over and you have to know what to do. And I think that that is kind of how our relationship and our, I think that that's how we have to be in Christ. Okay, we're preparing ourselves ahead of time. for situations that may arise. All right? We're reading up. We are studying and learning and memorizing our scripture so that when the time comes, man, we can speak life into a situation. We can speak victory into a situation because we know God's word and we've hidden it inside of our hearts. But the deal is, I have no idea what's going to happen later on today or tomorrow, okay? Yeah, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to work, hopefully, okay? But who knows what happens in between all of that? I don't know the scenarios that are going to happen. But I must be prepared that whatever happens, I am walking with the Holy Spirit. So when we talk about instinct in baseball, it's kind of comparing that to having the Holy Spirit in real life. Okay? At some point, I'm preparing myself to do what I need to do, but at some point, the Holy Spirit's going to have to take over because things are going to happen in our lives that we never expected. And if we are only based on what I've prepared myself for, then we are going to drop the ball when it comes time for the instinct to kick in. Okay? Uh-oh, I didn't learn this. Coach didn't teach me this. What am I supposed to do now? And the ball rolls right past us, and the run scores, and we lose the game. Because we were so focused on, again, what have I done? What have I put myself in a position to do? Those things are important. As a coach, I would be a horrible coach to send my team out into a game and we have never practiced a single moment of our lives. So practice, getting yourself prepared, is very important. But at the same time, we need to make sure that we're operating with the Holy Spirit so that we are equipped and we are able to meet whatever comes our way. Does that make sense? Okay, good. My wife says I can babble sometimes, so I don't want to do that. Okay, don't want to go on a rabbit trail. Okay, so again, fear, shame, insecurity. Those are all things that can limit us from doing and being what Christ wants us to be in the moment. And again, that is the enemy coming against us to use that. If you are hearing inside of your head, oh, you can't do that because of such and such. You did this earlier, or you said this earlier, or they're not going to believe you because whatever, whatever, whatever. That message comes only from the devil. Comes only from the enemy. Because Christ says that you are able. He says that you are my child. He says that you will be ready and that I will go with you wherever you go. I will fight your battles for you. All you have to do is be there and be willing, surrender to me, and I'll take care of the rest. I loved, about 4 weeks ago, we sang a Keith Green song in worship. Thank you. Thank you, guys. I think I personally thanked everybody on it. Keith Green is my personal favorite musician of all time, but he sings a song called He'll Take Care of the Rest. And here's how the song goes, and I won't sing it like Keith Green, because number one, I don't have any hair, and he had really awesome hair. Number two, I can't play the piano. And number three, there is no number three. But he sings this song, and he says, you keep doing your best, and he'll take care of the rest. And he talks about Moses that walked up, threw the staff in the ground, and the sea parted. I was about to say Noah, and I'm really glad I didn't. Noah was on a boat. Moses walks up, and so part of his song is, hey, Mo, you keep doing your best, and I'll take care of the rest. And he throws the staff into the ground. Did Moses part the sea? Do you think Moses might have had a little bit of insecurity? Like, hey, I'm about to throw the stick into the ground. Everybody, 40,000 people follow me across the desert for the last 40 years. Awesome. I know you guys are excited because I'm throwing a stick in the ground. Okay? He's completely relying upon God showing up at that moment. Am I right? Because if homeboy throws a stick into the ground and everybody's standing around like, and like nothing happens to the water and the Egyptians are right behind him, it's pretty bad stuff, right? So I'm sure he's got a little bit of that performance anxiety right there. Uh-oh. Okay, rub the bottom of the stick. God, I'm this good conductor here. Okay. All right. And he's nervous. Like, is this going to happen? Talk about Peter stepping out of the boat. Like, okay, this is not good physics here. My teacher taught me that gravity takes over and I'm going to fall through here. But that guy says I should start walking towards him. So, okay. And he walks on the water. Okay. Situations like that. Multiple times where they cast out demons. Dudes were running at him like wacko crazy, screaming and hollering, ripping off their clothes. Okay, if this doesn't work, I'm going to get mauled and embarrassed all in one moment. Okay? Yeah, you've got to get yourself into those positions. I'm sure that every single one of those guys was uncomfortable before God showed up. And here's the deal. We're going to be uncomfortable before God shows up sometimes, but we can be confident that he will always show up. And that's the deal. When it comes to evangelism, we need to be, like Paul said, all things to all men, okay? Ready in season and out of season, preparing ourselves so that when we stand before somebody, we're allowing the Holy Spirit to operate and move in them. Loving our enemies, speaking to those that we feel don't deserve our, well, that's the problem. I think that's the problem is what I was just about to say. We feel like these people don't deserve our grace, but it's not our grace that we're giving out. Right. And that's where we get trapped is that, oh, well, I wouldn't give them grace. Well, who cares? Because you're not Jesus. So you better hope Jesus is not sitting up there going, I wouldn't give him grace. Okay? So we have to get out of this mentality of what I think people deserve and get into this mentality of Jesus said, I love everybody. I came to die so that all men would know me and have eternal life. I didn't just come so that the goody two shoes over here that do things mostly right are going to get to have salvation and spend eternity with me. I came so that the sinner, I came so that the killer, I came so that the rapist, I came so that the abuser, I came so that blah, 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 and on down the line. Okay. I came for all of them. Those folks need grace just as much as we do. We do one little thing, and I'm going to kind of close with this, but we do a game in my PE class. See, I have these grand dreams inside of my head that someday they're going to make a PE teacher of the year. It may never happen, but it's okay. Still going to, hey, we should still act like we are the teacher of the year, even if we never win it, right? Our kids deserve that. Yeah, that's my motive. I say that in the mirror every morning. Hey, buddy, you are teacher of the year, even if they never vote for you. All right, so going back to it, we've been doing all kinds of cool games because we do the Teen Reach Adventure Camp that we're launching in December, which is an extension of Royal Family Kids Camp. So if you've never heard of it, let me just give you a quick little thing on that. Teen Reach Adventure Camp is for kids ages 13 to 16 years old, whereas Royal Family Kids Camp is for kids 6 to 12 years old. And so we saw so many kids graduating from our camps, and we were like, man, we got to do something for these kids. We got to keep up with them. So we launched Teen Reach Adventure Camp, and this will be our first year doing Teen Reach Adventure Camp in December. And so we're excited. But part of Teen Reach Adventure Camp is that we do these challenge courses. And so we've got these different platforms that the kids have to do for team building. And we do this thing called the Grace Game. And so I played it with my kids in my PE class the other day. Didn't quite get the response I thought I'd get, but it's okay. You live and you learn. Anyway, here's how the game goes. So I don't know if at any other school other than our school, kids are throwing playing cards. No? Okay. Y'all are all like, what in the world? Anyway, it's a thing, like the water bottle flip and everything else that was going on. And yeah, the fidget spinner. Okay. But now it's like I'm throwing playing cards. Watch how far I can flip a playing card. PhD. Give it to him. Okay? But here's the deal. We turn bad situations or stupid situations into good situations. So I would collect these cards off the ground. And then I would use them against my, I'm for my students in class. And so I had this collection of cards, three or four different cards. I think it was like a queen, a jack, and a joker or something like that. And so what I would tell the kids is, here we go. We're going to play this game called the Grace Game. All right? And you can choose which team you want to be on. You want to be a queen, you want to be a jack, you want to be a joker. Cool. You pick whatever team you want to be on. So kids would split themselves up. And of course, 70% of them would go over to the jokers. Joker. Awesome, dude. Nobody picked that one. So I've got the cards in my hand. I said, here's how this is going to go. I'm not looking. Okay. I'm going to pick one of these three cards from behind my back. Whatever card I pick. All right. If it's your group, you receive grace. If it's not your group, you're running three laps around this field. Okay. And so that was round one. I said, we're going to play five rounds. By the last round, if your group is not the one that receives grace, you're running 10 laps around this field. And so they're all like, oh, guys, and anxiety all over the place. Like, am I going to pick the right group? I don't know. So inevitably, I pull one. All right, Jack, she received grace. So kids go run three laps. Each time, more laps are run, do different rounds, and we get to the end. And that's a great game if you're just trying to, like, get kids to be physically fit. But really, the important part is the time at the end, which is what we do at the Teen Reach Adventure Camp. We call it debriefing time. So we sit down. And here's what I'm asking the kids. I said, was there anybody in this group that out of the five different rounds that we did, you never received grace? Two or three hands go up out of the 30. I said, man, how'd that feel? Dude, I hated it. It was horrible. And I'm mad because I never received any grace at all. And we're having them use this vocabulary. Man, I never received any grace at all. It was stupid. I'm just, no, this is dumb. It's not fair because they received grace. I didn't receive grace. I said, man, that's a good point. I said, was there anybody in the group here who received grace every single time? One or two hands goes up. How you feel? Oh, this is great, bro. I didn't have to run at all today. I'm like, yeah, well, just keep in your bag of Cheetos. You'll be fine. My point is this. We start talking about that. And I said, does it feel good to receive grace? Oh, yeah, absolutely. I said, would you want to receive grace every single time? Yeah, absolutely. So, shouldn't we give grace every single time? Oh, yeah, oh. It starts to go off in their heads. Because if we want to receive grace, and so I throw in my Bible lesson there with my junior high public school kids, throw in my Bible lesson without actually referencing a scripture there. And I say, you know what? To receive grace, we need to give grace. Oh. So you mean I should probably be giving grace if I want to? And it all of a sudden starts to click in their head. And that if we want to receive it, we need to give it out. And then we start talking a little bit more. We get into it, and the reason why I make each round a little bit more difficult is I said, well, who received grace in the first round? Oh, me. Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. So you didn't have to run three laps. Yeah, but I had to run 10 at the end. Yeah, I got it. So would you have rather received grace on a big thing or a little thing? Man, I'd much rather receive grace on a big thing. All right, so some of these people in your class here, man, they've done some pretty big things to hurt your feelings. They've done some pretty big things to offend you. Do you think that maybe you should give them grace and that might change the way they perceive the world around them and the attitude that they have? Oh, it's cool to watch junior high kids' eyes and minds start to open up as they begin to realize that if they start to give out grace that they don't think other people deserve, it begins to change the atmosphere around and it begins to change the world that they're in. And so it's really cool. And I love the opportunity to get to do that kind of stuff with junior high kids. But here's the deal. I said I was going to close, so I'll close. Evangelism is not about us. Evangelism is not about what I'm able to do. Evangelism is not about whether somebody deserves it or not because everybody deserves Jesus. Hey, thanks. Awesome. My bad. You can come on up to the keys. It's good. It's good. Sorry, I missed my timing. Dang it. Evangelism, okay, is not about us. It's not about what I'm capable of. Evangelism is not about who deserves it. Evangelism is not about whether I am capable or not, okay? I need to make sure that I am simply connected with Christ and I'm ready at all moments that if Christ is wanting to use me in a situation, I am open to him using me in that situation. And then I need to understand that evangelism means that I'm going into all the world and I'm preaching to everyone. One little quick thing. We talked about at the very beginning of service how my wife and I are bipolar to each other. Okay? She is the calm, rational, smart one. Okay? I am the wild, crazy, irrational. Yeah, I see that. I see that right there. I see that hand. No. Okay? But here's the deal. That doesn't exclude me from preaching to somebody over here or being a witness to somebody over here, and it doesn't exclude her from a group of people and being a witness over there. We have to be ready no matter what situation comes our way. And we can't use the excuse, well, God didn't make me that way. Okay? God didn't make me a talker. He didn't make me a person to like go in front of big groups and whatever. Or God made me really loud, and so I'm not really meant for that kind of like emotional one-on-one type stuff over there. And that's not a legit excuse. God made you a person who is sharing his gospel with whoever he puts in front of your face. And we have different styles, okay? My wife is not going to stand up on a stage and go, "You need Jesus!" She will if she needs to, but that's not going to be her MO, okay? She's not going to stand up and be like, "Hey, you, buddy, you need to," okay? She's not going to do that. I'm probably not going to do it as brash as that, but I would be more upfront with people like, "Hey, dude, that ain't cool. You got to do this. You need Jesus, all right, bro? Because if you don't, you're going to hell, all right?" Whereas my wife is more of the, "I'm going to live it. I'm going to show it. They're going to know it. All right. I'm going to speak it." Here's the deal. Here's the things she said that really caught my attention was that those folks that are a little more quiet and timid, me as a bold guy or a loud guy, I can use the excuse, "Oh, well, I'm just going to live it here. Okay." And I kind of get out of who God created me to be because I'm uncomfortable with witnessing or with sharing the gospel. And so I say, "Oh, I'm just going to live it. And when they need to have somebody pray for them, well, then they'll come to me," and whatever. No, I'm going to share Jesus, okay? I'm going to share Jesus with everybody that's around me, and I'm going to make sure that they're not confused whether I'm in the world or out of the world, okay? Because we can draw that line very easily. So we have to be careful with that. I guess at the end of the day, prepare yourselves for the things that you cannot be prepared for. Is that what it all basically comes down to? Yeah. I'm preparing myself by uniting myself with Christ and the Holy Spirit so that when it comes time for game time situation and I'm faced with something that I'm not expecting, I'm aligned with the ones that I need to be aligned with so that I'm ready for battle. And there is nothing that's going to stand in the way of me delivering the message of Christ to the ones that Christ has put in front of me. There will be no lie from the devil telling me that I am not able, I am not equipped, they are not good enough. None of those lies work because I understand that the gospel is for everyone. Prayer team, if you want to come forward. This morning, as we close out, go into a time of prayer, there's a couple different things that I think that we might want to evaluate within our own lives. First, and in no specific order, for those of us who feel like we're not good enough, or that we're not equipped enough, or we're not prepared enough, let's start evaluating who we are. I'm no longer a slave to fear, for I am a child of God. I am no longer afraid or believing in the lies of the devil, because I know who I am and who has my back. So maybe this morning you need to evaluate your confidence in who you are in Christ. And be ready, like it said in the Bible, be ready to give an account for your confidence in God at all times. Maybe we need to evaluate this morning our judgmental heart. And we have to say, too many times, I have not shared the gospel because I didn't feel like that person deserved grace. And that hurts. For me to admit that to myself hurts. But I've done it more times than I ever needed to. But when I am real with myself, and the only way we grow and become stronger is by being real with ourselves, let's sit back and say, you know what? There's been times where I have not extended grace because I didn't feel like they deserved it. Let's evaluate that within ourselves. And if that's us this morning, it's not something that probably just switches on and off. It's something that we're going to have to work through, but we're going to need the Holy Spirit to help us. Holy Spirit, you're helping me in every other area of my life. I'm giving everything else to you, and I need you to help me in this area too. Because there's some people that I can't stand. I'm very angry at. I don't like. They offend me. They hurt me. I don't want to talk to them. But I know that God's telling me I need to. I know that God's telling me they deserve grace. That's a struggle. That's a hard place to be. And you've got to battle with that. That is a legit battle. So this morning, if those are some areas that you feel like, man, I need to deal with those. I need to figure those things out. I need the help of the Holy Spirit. And we've got folks that are up here that are willing to pray for you. If you want to address those issues sitting right where you're at, that's fine. God is wherever you are. He's ready to meet you. So you don't have to feel like you need to come up. The folks that are up here, they want to pray with you. If you have a need and you need someone to support you, that's what we're here for this morning. And so we would love to do that, and we would love the opportunity to pray with you here this morning. I want you guys to have a phenomenal week. I'm going to pray and send us out. And then again, these altars are open. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we want to thank you, Lord God, for your abundant grace. And Lord God, I just pray that right now your grace would flood our hearts and our minds so that as we receive it, we also give it to those around us, Lord God. I also pray, Lord God, that your love is so consuming on our lives that we have no room for doubt about who we are and what we are capable of. You split seas because a guy threw a rod into the sand. You spoke a word and a dead guy came out of a tomb after 4 days. You yourself raised from the dead. Time and time again, you have proven that nothing is impossible. You used a donkey to speak, so you can surely use me. Lord God, I just pray that you would have your way in our lives and that we would allow you to reign and to do what you want, because we are simply put on this earth for your purposes and your glory. We thank you, Jesus, for this day. Go with everyone, keep them safe and well, And help them, Lord God, to speak your word and be your light everywhere that they go this week in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have an awesome week. Thank you so much.